Well, welcome to the situation report for Monday, July 15th. It's been a busy weekend. And that was Black Angel. The song's called Black Grease. It's totally appropriate for today, given the events over the weekend and given the rhetoric that's all over social media right now. I think what's interesting about that song is the video that they did is a bunch of guys in a clam costumes in a massive gunfight with police. If that is not on the horizon, I don't know what is. Man, talk about a complete and total meltdown across the country for the shooting on Saturday. It's amazing. But here, a couple of things that we should probably talk through today. Like, okay, let me just start with, I don't care about J.D. Vance. I don't care about the vice president's pick. I don't care about the renter in the White House. Don't care. Not going to care, not going to start caring. I'm not going to think about starting to care. I'm not going to think about thinking about starting to care. I don't care. Because it doesn't matter. We're not getting that far. And if we do, nobody's going to buy it anyway. Even if they win, by some miracle, the Israelis and Mossad convince everybody in the deep state or deconstruction state or the mafia or the cabal or the Khazarian mafia, or whatever term you want to use for the shitbags that are in power, I would say I still wouldn't believe it. And I'm still not going to care. Because he's not going to be able to do anything. The system is completely corrupt to the point where it's so blatantly obvious that the Secret Service was involved in this coup against Trump, and that this, whatever this patsy was that was put up. And by the way, I see the Daily Mail today put out an article that said that this shooter was supposedly on the roof for 26 minutes. They're flooding the system with bogus information so that people will buy into whatever narrative. And the narrative we're supposed to buy, which I think is amazing, is that this kid he's never posted on social media. He's never done anything other than register to be a Republican and never had a presence in any protests, any online presence, nothing. But we're supposed to believe that this kid got into the perimeter, was unseen, took the shot, took two more shots, killed one person, injured another person, and then they finally saw him and took the shot. I will tell you one thing we didn't talk about yesterday on the show, mainly because I'm old as fuck and I forgot about it, was we didn't talk about if the shot could have come from outside the perimeter, which is something that I was looking through my notes yesterday and I'm like, yep, we missed that. But and by the way, the gun he had was like really, really expensive. And again, this is one of those situations where the pieces don't add up to the narrative. But the bigger thing, which is what I wanted to cover yesterday, especially yesterday after we had more information, was the fact that the lapses in security alone say that this was an inside job by the Secret Service, probably in conjunction with the FBI, probably in conjunction with the CIA, to get rid of Trump. And I don't believe that it was staged by Trump, because his reaction shows that he was completely caught off guard. I'm not convinced that the agents on the ground knew what was going on, even though there's a flurry of videos showing them moving people out of the behind the stage right before the gunshots. Look, the Secret Service's job is to keep people away from the president and to keep him secure at all times. So it would be within their purview to go move people away from the stage if they were encroaching on the stage. And the fact that they changed Secret Service details before the event started, the fact that the police were given a stand down order, and by the way, nobody's confirm that that's real. And I think it's very suspect that that post shows up on 8chan or 8kun or whatever 4chan is now. There's too many pieces of this that don't add up and that add up to a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington are going full tilt. And then this morning, somebody sent me the delegation of authority that normally goes along with a spending bill from the president's office, and everybody's convinced that martial law is coming. We already know that. We already know that they're going to declare some kind of a national emergency related to the bird flu. They're going to try and do a lockdown, and then some kind of civil disorder is going to start, if not a civil war. And they're going to try and do it before the election. But they've already set conditions. They've created the perfect storm. And it bears mentioning that this concept of left and right is complete garbage. Complete garbage. Because there's no left and right. There's no Democrat or Republican. There's the haves and the have-nots. And all the haves are fighting amongst each other for who's going to be in control. And we're just caught in the middle of it. And then you have psychopaths like Bill Gates and Yuval Harari. And then you have Klaus Schwab, who are the front men for whoever the institutional money is that's guiding this, or the nation state. And China's got a part in this, because the Wuhan lab was not a secret to the Chinese government. The material for the COVID and all of the other virus experimentation was done at the Wuhan lab with full knowledge of the Chinese. The vaccine that was given to the Chinese is different than the vaccine everybody else received. And more importantly, the fact that they're conducting this massive invasion of all these of the West, for lack of a better word, there's a bigger plan at play here. And if you look at the strategic side of the Trump assassination attempt, I don't see desperation. I've heard all day, this shows how desperate they are. This shows that they are desperate to take him off the board. No, this shows that they've just moved into another act in the theater to keep us distracted. And I say that because if you listen to Tom Luongo, by the way, and he talks about the bond markets, he says that the bond market is the bellwether for whether or not we're going to go into a deep depression or a recession. And the bond market basically fell out on Friday. I don't think there's a problem there. I think that that's just part of the plan. I'm kidding, by the way. That is significant that the bond market and the bottom fell out of the bond market. That's massively significant. And that says that they're on a timeline and that the timeline's been accelerated. And I don't know if it's beyond their control, if it's within their control, but whatever the case may be, when you look at the big picture with this, and I tried to go through this yesterday, but it bears going, talking through again. The bigger picture with this is that they can take this in 10 different directions, and it all leads to civil disorder or civil war. And it doesn't matter which way they go. They've created the perfect storm. And the perfect storm is they can use this as a catalyst to go and do something to Biden and blame it on MAGA. They can use this as a catalyst to go after Biden and Trump and RFK, I don't think RFK is a big enough player on the board right now for them to concern themselves with regarding the narrative. But they need to recapture the narrative. They need to reinstill motivation in their base to support whatever this regime wants to do. Again, they need your compliance in order for their plans to work. They don't have the force disposition to be able to occupy the entire planet with troops. And plus, I don't think when the troops on the ground figured out that they're just being used by about 1,000 people at the very top, that's not going to go very far. But the point is, they need to recapture the cultural narrative. And why that's, when you look at the fifth generation warfare model, they talk about narrative, but they don't talk about it in the sense of the culture that we've accepted in this country as of today is that we've accepted pronouns, we've accepted gender identity, we've accepted the bigger picture of the gay and lesbian community and whoever else they decide to include in that. We've accepted DEI, we've accepted critical race theory, and we didn't do it openly. We did it through complicity. And they know that. And they also know that the pushback has been moderate compared to what it should have been. And part of that is because conservatives and the war on the Christian church has only been amplified. And most of the population that's pushing back, they're focused in very, very myopic areas. Like I had a conversation this morning with somebody who sent me the National Defense Authorization allocation of power, what it's called, a delegation of power letter from the president. They're focused on the election, and they can't understand why I don't care about it. And there was probably a 30-minute conversation around it. And I had a conversation with a customer today that just does not see the bigger picture at all. So you have this part of the culture that accepts it willingly, part of the culture that goes along with it as part of go along to get along. Then you have another part that doesn't accept it, but hasn't risen up and pushed back against it. Therefore, they see the elite see it as a success. Whether it is or not still remains to be determined. And why it's important is this is not an isolated event, this assassination attempt on Trump. This is, and the timing of it, all of us saw the timing of it because it had nothing to do with the vice president. What it had to do with is they wanted to replace him at the convention and put somebody equally awful as Hillary on the Republican ticket to be the designated loser so they can install whoever they want to install and make it look like it was a legitimate election. That to me is a better and more plausible story than just getting rid of Trump because they're scared of him or they're scared of him prosecuting anybody in DC. I don't buy that for a second because he doesn't have the military on his side. The military leadership is completely compromised. He doesn't have DOJ on his side because they're completely compromised and they're all communists. So when you distill away from that and you look at what he has to work with, if he actually does get into office by some miracle, you can see that it doesn't matter if he gets in or doesn't get in. The end state is still going to be the same. They're still going to try to consolidate power as soon as he walks into office and just keep him tied up for 4 years and keep the American public distracted. Just like all the conversation around, you know, well, this person pulled out their camera when the shots were fired. They don't even look scared. Who cares? The narrative has already been formed. They want you to believe that it was only one shooter, that one shooter, it was deranged or whatever, released a video on TikTok, which has been debunked already. And that's the storyline you're supposed to buy into. Who reacted, how they reacted, none of that shit matters. What matters is that there was a lapse in security. It was a planned event. This kid was shot. He's a patsy, clearly. The shot came from somewhere. And it was obviously a skilled shooter because I will tell you that this rifle had from what I understand, had a red dot sight on it. 250 yards, 150 yards, 100 yards with a red dot shooting at somebody's head. That's a long fucking ways away. And it's a really small target. So you have to be a damn good shot if that's what you're using. And I don't believe that that's the case. I believe the shooter was outside the perimeter, probably in a very, very well-hidden location that was probably scouted out by the FBI or by the Secret Service. And there was a backup shooter in addition to the primary shooter. And this kid was just put up as a target and for the public face of this. I don't believe for one nanosecond that this kid fired those shots. He might have fired shots. He might have hit somebody in the crowd, but I know he didn't hit fucking Trump. So, and I have been looking at this not from the aspect of where the Secret Service should be. That's why Chris from Combat Studies Group, that's why, you know, all those other military guys and shooters all those guys know exactly what that should look like. That's why we did the shows over the weekend. So you could get a perspective of our initial reaction, what we knew at the time and what we were thinking at the time and how we thought that that should have been handled. And I didn't, you know, I could have said on Friday within minutes, this is complete horseshit, but I wanted to walk everybody through how we were processing through it. Cause I think there's more value in you getting a feel for how we're thinking through it and how we're seeing and viewing the entire area versus that's bullshit. Don't worry about it. So that's part of the reason why we did the show. And I have to give credit to Mike Ferris because I was going to wait until Sunday morning to do the show. And he said, no, let's do it now, man. And I asked him to come on because Mike is really good at paying attention to, not just the chat, but he's really good at paying attention to what the common or layman person that doesn't have the military background would want to know. And he was texting Kyle, which, you know, Kyle's one of the guys that got me on the Big MiG. So shout out to Kyle. He was texting and they were texting back and forth and asking layman's questions, which is something that, you know, we take for granted. All of us, you know, I have a hard time remembering what it was like to be, you know, new to the security business, new to the intelligence business, and new to the threat business. Right? It's been a long time, so I forget, and it's very easy for me to forget what it's like to be in the non-experienced category. So Mike brings that perspective, and that's why I asked him to be on the show. And I hate to say it, but I love his perspective because he thinks about things the way most people do. And I think he asks the right questions. And why that's important is I think the end state that we got to yesterday was we all had a consensus that this was a staged event. We all had a consensus that this guy couldn't have pulled the trigger. And, you know, we got there methodically. The other piece of that too is that the deep dark behind this, whoever that is, really needs to be exposed. And when this is over, before this is over, these people have to be brought to justice because the American people want justice now. They don't want any more dog and pony shows. They don't want any backroom deals. There's no forgiveness left. There's no more using the excuse that you're just doing your job, just trying to get to your pen. No, you are guilty of treason and you will be dealt with as a traitor. You will be tried as a traitor and you will either go to prison or you will face harsher consequences. There will be no middle ground because of this. And the thing that I want to keep everybody completely focused on is that this is not over. They are going to go after Trump or his family again. And they will also use this as a catalyst to go after Biden and use it as an excuse to go after domestic terrorists and start rolling people. I guarantee you that that is coming. And at the same time, they will turn off social media so that they control the narrative. And they will do it through an either executive order or they will do it through a national emergency. But you can bet your ass it's coming. And it's coming very, very quickly. I don't think for one nanosecond that this is not already planned and the wheels are already in motion. I guarantee you the wheels are already in motion. And I'm kind of surprised, to be perfectly honest, given the events of Saturday, that there was not a follow-on attack or a follow-on event today at the Republican conference or the convention. I'm actually shocked. And I think that it's highly suspect that CNN, the other news media outlets, MSDNC, are all saying that Trump fell or Trump, you know, cut his face or falling or on the podium. I can't, you know, I could sit here and say that I can't believe that they're gaslighting the American public, but that shows the level of complicity it also shows me, and remember when I said when this happened, watch the next 24 to 48 hours to see what and how it's reported, because that will be the tell and who's involved, who was briefed beforehand, and who's complicit. We already know MSDNC is complicit. We already know that CNN's complicit. CNN was there to cover the assassination of Trump. They were not there for any other reason. They were tipped off that it was going to happen. And the reason why I say the FBI is because the FBI tipped them off before they went to Roger Stone's house. And CNN was the only news on the ground. And it explains why there's so much animosity in the crowd amongst average Americans towards the media now. Because they know they're complicit. This shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that the left, if you want to call it that, will go to any extreme. The means always justifies the end. Every single time. And when you fight on principle, that exonerates you of any kind of responsibility, any kind of remorse for harming other people. And if you look at the way that they have structured Orange Man Bad since 2016, you can see that they have ardent believers, just like the Nazis did. They had ardent believers. And it's because they beat the drum for 7 years against this guy, 8 years. Orange Man Bad, Orange Man Bad. Now they're using the term Nazis. They've upped the rhetoric, and they've continued to up the rhetoric. And it's not just they're doing that to Trump. They're doing that to the entire mega crowd. Like, I'm not a mega guy. I'm not like Trump's going to make everything better. I've said it 100 times. I don't care about the renter in the White House. What I care about is the down ballot. Who's in Congress? What are they doing? Where are they sending money to? Who is laundering money? Who's doing the insider trading? Who's moving children around? We still don't have an answer for where all these children are going that are coming across the border every night. And at the same time, we don't have an answer for who's running the show, for all the logistics behind all of these different movements of children. Right? So that's the stuff I care about. I don't care about anything that goes on related to the presidency or even DOD for that matter. Because if you look at Austin, he's a pawn or the defense industrial complex. And, you know, there's a lot of conjecture that the city of London was behind the Trump assassination, or it was Mossad. Or my favorite is it's the conjecture that because he's anti-Ukraine war, they have to take him off the board because they've already tried to assassinate two other European leaders for trying to stop the war there. I don't buy into any of that, because they need a civil war. They need a wider war and World War III in order to wipe out the debt. When you take out all the noise, when you take out all the bullshit, it always comes back to money. It always comes back to bankers. It always comes back to where the money's going. Follow the money. There's a reason why you always hear that every time you talk about a conspiracy or, you know, racketeering or any kind of fraud. In this case, this is the entire European banking community trying to start World War III so they can wipe out the debt so they're not responsible for it. That's the end state they want to reach. I don't think that them going after Trump has anything to do with the bigger picture, other than they need a civil war here in order to destabilize the U.S. so they can kick off World War III. And all they've done is make him a martyr and a messiah. That's all they've done. Like I said, they've created the perfect storm for civil conflict to happen. We're past the point of any kind of a peaceful resolution here. We're past the point for anybody to cross the aisle and have a coherent conversation because of the fact they've played Orange Mad Bad since 2016. We've had, 8 years of that now? Look at how much people actually believe it. There are people that are literally walking around saying Trump is a Nazi and he's going to hang his political opponents. But if you look, that's exactly what they're doing right now. That's what the elite are doing in DC. Every single one of these narratives, when you break them down, it all comes back to the same thing: civil war. That's what they need, to have a civil war. And they are going to up the ante. They're going to push forward, and they're going to try and consolidate power. They have to before the election. I don't see any other way for them to go now. And I'm not convinced that this was a failed attempt. I'm not even convinced that the injuries he has is real. I'm not convinced of anything right now. And I say that because we've seen everything staged up to this point, to the point of lunacy. So I can't take anything at face value, and I won't, because there's been too many events that have happened that have turned out to be completely bogus. And if that's the case, and Trump was a part of this, which I don't believe he was, then he's done. And so is the entire movement. And that could potentially be one of the end states that they're trying to reach, that they put enough information out in the social media space, and people do enough research to figure out that there's no way he couldn't have known. And guess what? You've just created doubt. It's a perfect psyop. They create doubt in the entire mega movement, and then they have a bigger and wider war that they want, because the mega guys will be fighting against each other. And guess what? They can consolidate power. Don't underestimate our enemy's ability to think through these things in multiple different ways, because we always underestimate their capabilities, their level of depravity, and their level of evil. We consistently do it. It's one of our Achilles heels, just like technology is. And there's true ardent believers on the other side of the fence. And I mean ardent believers. These people believe wholeheartedly that Trump needs to die, that the mega movement needs to die. People need to go to re-education camps. We need to teach critical race theory in schools. We need to let kids decide at 1 or 2 or 3 years old if they want to be gender transitioned. I mean, these people believe this. That is the second and third order effects of a highly effective information operation campaign to influence the public to accept that. If you go back to the 80s, do you think they would have ever accepted any of this shit back in the 80s? Never. Not one bit. And, you know, I was watching, there's a show on Apple TV called For All Mankind. And the premise of the show is about the space race continuing after 1974. So after, I think, Apollo 17 was the last mission we officially flew. The space race continues, and they put a, you know, moon base up there. They put a base on the moon. They're working towards a base on Mars, et cetera, et cetera. And throughout the series, this series is laced with liberal tropes and liberal talking points. I mean, the gay relationships are in there from almost episode one. The liberal tropes and the sexual identity is in there from almost episode one. The whole diversity thing, where they have black astronauts, which would have never happened in the 70s. And, you know, they talk about the Equal Rights Amendment being passed back, I think it was 74, 75 when it was passed. And they talk about the way the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover is run. It's all slanted towards their talking points. I mean, and so my point is, you can see, because it's laced into everything that we watch, everything that we read, everything that we consume in social media, why people are such ardent believers. There's no other place for that to go than gunfire, because these people can't be talked off the ledge. And we're talking about a third of our population that are ardent fucking believers in this nonsense. And this critical race stuff, all it is it's a recipe for hatred of other races that are not like you. It has nothing to do with black versus white. It's every race. And they are preaching, and again, Their strategy has always been divide and conquer. Put everybody into buckets so all the buckets are fighting each other and they're doing everything on the peripherals and we're paying attention to what's in front of us. That's why I say look at the bigger picture here, because most people are looking right here. They can't see past what's in front of them. You have to think in second and third order effects here, because there's bigger things coming and it's on the close horizon. It's not on the distant horizon. They have to consolidate power. They have to create chaos. They have to create fear. They have to instill a wider body of fear in the population in order for them to achieve their agenda, which is to install a communist government. And what they really want to do away with is, they want to do away with governments in total. They want to have these puppet communist governments, just like the Politburo in the Soviet Union. They want to have these puppet, you know, what I call middle managers, you know, like Maduro, like Kim Il-jung, like some of the rest of them, Castro. They're all middle managers. These guys are not, they don't have a seat at the table. They're just installed to oppress their people and to do whatever their bidding is of the elite. That's what they want. That's the end state they're trying to reach. What do you think? Why do you think they put Lula into Brazil? Do you think he's there because they want Brazil to be a part of BRICS? No, they want Brazil to be a communist country and then to use all their resources. And I can go as far as saying that the Chinese are heavily in Brazil now. They're heavily throughout Central and South America. They're heavily in the South Pacific. And they're all over Europe. And everybody in DC that is associated with Biden is a Marxist, and they're compromised by China, every fucking one of them. So you can see the bigger picture. If you keep your eye on the bigger picture, when you see stuff like this shooting, you're not going to get wrapped up in the minutiae. You're not going to give two shits about where somebody was at when they picked up their phone. You're going to think, how does this plug into the bigger picture, and what aims does it achieve for them? What does it give them on the board? What move does this give them? What other moves can they take from this? And what are the second and third order effects they can take out of this? Because they're not just interested in the first order effects, meaning Trump dead. They want the second and third order effects. The second order effects is it throws the campaign into chaos. The third order effects is there's no viable candidates that they can bring forward other than Nikki Haley. There's no, and that, you know, when you get to fourth and fifth, you start seeing that the party starts fighting amongst themselves to figure out who they're going to put forward. And then there's the legality of putting somebody new on the ballot, since most of the states lock in at the convention and even before the convention. So can you pick somebody else? And they play all those lines of operation all at the same time. They war game them out all at the same time. And they have contingency plans if they're not successful. And one of their contingency plans is they flood the system with garbage information so people don't know what to believe. Look at how much confusion there is just over how much time this guy was on the roof and how much energy people spend analyzing all of that nonsense and the fact that it doesn't add up to anything. Okay, so the guy's on the roof 26 minutes. Why the fuck was he on the roof for 26 minutes, Secret Service? Why didn't you shoot this son of a bitch when you saw a weapon? And if there was a hold order, then all of those cops that are on the roof that are affected by that, every single fucking one of them should come forward and go, yeah, we were told to stand down by this person and dox whoever that was in the Secret Service. And then we take that information, flood them with information, flood them with letters, flood them with memes, flood them with messages on their social media, and force them to resign. That's how that should go. But instead, they use that opportunity to flood the system with garbage information. So you have no idea who the nameless bureaucrat was in the Secret Service that issued that order. And they can never, ever tie it to the director of the Secret Service. See how the game's played? So why worry about it? It's all subterfuge and noise. What matters now is what they do next and how soon they do it and how big it is. That's what matters next. And when it happens, I guarantee, even if it happens tonight, I guarantee you that most of the public would be outraged and shocked, even knowing that it was coming. That's how effective their information operations are. Highly effective. And they've got a mountain of resources. So that's why I keep saying, focus on the bigger picture, because the bigger picture is way more important than anything we're seeing right now. I'm telling you. Because the thing that nobody's talking about, which is why I keep trying to bring it up every single show in some way, shape, or form, is how do you prepare to deal with all of the illegal military age males they've imported into all these rural areas? I mean, there's towns of 150,000 that have had 80,000 military age males imported into their community, and they're trying to find housing for them. I guarantee you that not all those illegals know what their mission is, but a good portion of them probably do. And they're trained professionals, and they're military. That's the stuff that we should be keeping our eye on. That's the stuff we should be running down. Like, you notice how a couple of weeks ago, there was all this, what's the word for it? Masturbation about FEMA camps. Have you noticed that there's no video, there's no locations, there's no definitive answers about where these camps are and how big they are? There's a lot of hype around them, but why aren't we, as patriots or conservatives, whatever you want to call this movement, the truth movement, whatever you want to call it, why aren't we out there on the ground collecting intel on where these camps are? You want to defend your community? Go figure out where they're going to take people. It's literally, that's the part of Red Dawn that most people aren't paying attention to. They had camps. They're going to send them to re-education camps. They're going to send them to death camps. Where are the camps? If they really exist, we should know where they are, every single one of them. Shouldn't be a secret. And if it's hiding in plain sight, then we should be doing the due diligence to find them, document them, and get that information out to the public. Because that's not classified information. If they're building camps and those camps are in plain sight, we should know where every single one of them are. We should have every single one of them on a map and pushed out to the entire population so everybody can see it and put it on display. That's how this has to go. And we should be very, very active in our community doing reconnaissance and collecting intelligence on who is there now and what agencies are there, especially the DC Capitol Police. Why would the DC Capitol Police be anywhere near that? They don't have any jurisdiction outside of DC. But yet we talk about it, and then there's no follow-up to it. The call to action here is to go in your state and figure out where those camps are, if they actually exist and where they are. That's the call to action right now. That's the bigger picture. Because if they institute martial law, or they institute or try and do another lockdown for the bird flu, these camps are going to be what they use to put people into isolation and ultimately kill them. So why don't we know where they are? It's a very simple question. And then on top of that, if they don't exist, we should know that too. And we should debunk that so that people don't spend any more time on it and we focus on other things. But this is why we're talking about readiness, because the bigger event is coming and it's going to be more shocking and it's going to be uglier for the American people than most people realize, because most of our population has never had to deal with any kind of adversity. And most of them don't know how to do anything at all. Full stop. Invalids. And the victim mentality has been instilled in our culture for the last 35 years. I mean, it's part of the liberal ideology, right? You turn everybody into a whiny little bitch that needs the government to help them, and then you come in and fuck them over. That's pretty much how they work anyway. But look at how many snowflakes are out there, and their whole world revolves about people gendering them appropriately. Like, I'm supposed to read your fucking mind, snowflake. Yeah, I don't think so. You know, and I go back to the time in my life when people were all about personal responsibility and people were all about you taking responsibility for your actions. I mean, those days are gone. And that's part of where we have to get back to that. And let me answer some in the chat. So Be Savage, you're right. They could convert Walmarts, they could convert Costco's, they could convert, you know, Amazon warehouses into camps. All that's, I'm sure those are contingencies that they actually have, or they have contingency plans drawn out for overflow. We'll use these buildings and throw these people out. That's a very good point. But we should know what those plans are. I don't think those plans are classified. And if they are, my question is, why haven't they leaked out? I'm sure there's people at the lower levels that are still loyal to the country that are seeing this stuff coming across either FEMA's desk or coming across the desk in the DOD. And I can't believe that that hasn't made its way out yet, because we can't even keep a secret about nuclear weapons. I find it hard to believe that this is a better kept secret than UFOs. So that's why I say that's the call to action is to go and find out where these camps are, find out what the plan is, find out what the contingencies are, and then put them on a map. That's the call to action. But, you know, either way it goes, we need to identify what it is and not have a bunch of conjecture about what it could be. The last thing I want to talk through has nothing to do with the shooting. It doesn't have anything to do with politics, and it doesn't have anything to do with preparedness. This strictly has to do with protecting yourself from cybercrime, because over the last 24 hours, I've seen a massive uptick in variety of attack surfaces that they're using to go after people and compromise your bank information. This morning, I got a QR code on my phone, which was weird because I don't normally get things in text. That's a QR code, and I never respond to it. But this one actually was crafted very, very well. And when I scan the QR code with a non-connected device, it tried to send it to a URL in Russia. And that's just one of many. The other one is, you probably all have noticed the uptick in text messages to your phone with links attached to them related to the GOP or to whatever cause is out there. And I will say that you'll see an uptick of the text messages called smishing is what it's called. It's where they send you text to get you to take action. Most of the time it's, hey, send me a gift card or send a gift card to this person. That they've upped the ante now. So they're sending QR codes via text. They're sending URLs or links via text that they want you to click on. If you don't know who's sending you something, never click on it. If you don't know an email or recognize an email address that somebody wants you to click on some kind of a link, don't do it. If you don't recognize it and it's important, they will email you again. And if it's really important, they will call you. Especially if it's a bank or a financial institution, they will never send you a link to click on. They will never send you, click here to update your account information. They will send you a letter in the mail, or they will call you, or they will send you a letter telling you to call them. Or they will send an alert to your phone saying, call the bank. And I never call the number that's attached to a text message. I always go to the bank's website and then call from there. And you would be surprised. In the last 30 days, my bank uses a very specific script for fraud. They have a very specific way they answer the phone. They have a very specific way that they handle the calls. They have a very specific script that they read you when you call and do banking. And I got a fraud alert on my phone, followed up immediately by a phone call that looked and came across as my bank. So it came across as the number of the bank. And this is not the first time it's happened, but this time they got the script flawless. And when the guy started to ask me about the fraudulent charge, he even had the last four of my account. And what I usually do in those situations, especially when I call the bank, I always have my account up in front of me, and I could tell them exactly what charge or what weird activity I'm seeing. In this case, he was where he got tripped up is I read to him a couple of transactions and I said, these look normal. This transaction was for X amount on this date. I didn't give him the retailer. I just said, here's the date. Here's the transaction amount. Do you see that? And he's like, yeah, I see that, but I also see this. I'm like, well, I don't see that. And then he paused. And that's when I knew I had him. But most people don't have that much discernment when it comes to social engineering, especially when you're talking about financial stuff. So the rule of thumb is, if you don't know who it is that's calling you, hang up the phone, call your bank back, ask them, did you just call me? And call the bank directly, because they can spoof a phone number. They can spoof a web address. They can spoof where it comes from and obfuscate it, make it look like it's a legitimate email. Your bank will never, ever call you and tell you and start going through your personal account. They want to prompt you, so you read them your password, your username, your bank account number, etc. And I've seen an uptick of that just in the last 48 hours. So I imagine that all of you are probably seeing that too. The other thing I'm seeing an uptick in, which I've never seen before, is highly sophisticated phone dialogues with very, very succinct scripts. And if you get some kind of a message that says, call your bank, go to their website, call the number on the website. Don't call any number that comes across an email. Don't call any number that comes across in text. Don't click on any links. Don't click on or scan any QR codes. Delete the email, call your bank, ask the question. If somebody from the bank called you, for whatever reason, they'll own up to it. But in 99% of the cases where I've called my bank directly, they've also always said the same thing. We did not call you. We do not call our customers. We send you a letter. We want you to call us. And, you know, they're getting more sophisticated. And why I say that's important right now is there's a lot of people out there that are teetering on the edge of poverty right now because of the cost of living, because of the way the cost of living's gone up. And these people are preying on innocent people. You don't need to go through that identity theft right now. Just like, be very cautious about sending your information to a potential employer, because the other thing they're doing is they're using LinkedIn, creating bogus personas to collect people's personal information. And they're taking your PII and then they're doing the deep dive with the DMV and other things and stealing identities through your resume. So be careful if you're a professional and you're throwing a resume out there. Limit the amount of personal information you have on your resume. And there's a lot of people, you know, this is the thing with social media. This is one of the pieces that the intelligence communities have done very, very well. And I know this because I was in this space for a very, very, very long time. Social media is a smorgasbord of information. People willingly put so much private information out there. It is unbelievable. Your birthday is out there. Your favorite foods, your favorite colors, the names of all your relatives, where you live, where you go, where you vacation, all of those things that are in social media, a lot of people use as keywords or as multi-factor authentication pieces for all of their accounts. And it doesn't take an adversary very long to figure out, you know, what your keywords are. And I use a case in point. They always ask you security questions when you sign up for a new service. And one of those is, what's your mother's maiden name? That's really not hard to figure out on social media. Only takes about a nanosecond. And then the other thing is that when you buy a house, do you have any idea how much personal information is listed on the county assessor's site that is readily accessible by anybody in the world? You don't think that anybody that's profiling you has gone out to the county assessors to figure out if you own your house and scraped all of your personal information? And don't assume that just because the county has a website that it's secure. Most counties in this country are cluster fucks when it comes to IT and security. They're gaping holes of security. And it would horrify you if you knew just how bad it really was. The same thing is with academic institutions. Hospitals, it's a cluster. And I'm saying this because I'm seeing this uptick in attacks, and you can't do anything about your phone. You just can't, because your phone is owned by the carrier. The carriers are owned by the manufacturers, and everything that's on the phone and the software is controlled by Apple or Google, which means it's controlled by the intelligence agency. You can't do anything about that, just like you can't do much about your operating system. But you can do a lot about what you put online. You can do a lot about how you use the equipment in your house and what you allow it to listen to and what you allow it to collect on you. And that's why I'm saying be very mindful about what you put on social media, because you would be surprised at how easy it is to profile somebody from social media and then go steal their identity. It just takes nanoseconds to do it. And now is one of those times where you don't need to be fighting with a bank when your account's drained or your credit cards are maxed, when you're trying to pay the bills and you're trying to survive. So be mindful of that. And use some common sense when it comes to email and text messaging, because they're leveraging every piece of technology now to get as much and as fast as they can to get into your accounts. And I can tell you that I've had five debit cards compromised just this year. And it's, you know, I literally went to a gas station in Nevada, I was coming back from Washington. Two guys stand in the parking lot. I looked at them. I'm like, those guys are collecting credit cards. And I used a credit card that I was going to shut off anyway. Sure enough, when I got back, I used the credit card, called the bank, shut it off after that transaction. And sure enough, they tried to put like five charges through within an hour. So that's why we talk about situational awareness. That's why the group is focused on situational awareness. But we don't ever talk about technology and how technology is our Achilles heel. We also don't talk about, you know, what are good habits? What's good security hygiene for you to adopt, not just in your personal life, but all the time? And this is the biggest distraction that you can possibly think of. The absolute biggest distraction. Most people are like this. They don't pay attention to their surroundings. They don't pay attention to what they put into it. They don't pay attention to what they send across the wire. They don't even pay attention to what comes across the wire. You have to be mindful of all of that now, because as we go into an escalated event, the enemy is going to use every advantage they can to disrupt, disorient, and take away your ability to fight. So don't let them do it through technology. Let them do it through kinetic, because you can do something about that, but you can't do it if they take away your identity. Words to live by. Coming up on the hour, and I could talk for another 2 hours on this. I could put together an entire roundtable just on good security hygiene and tradecraft around how to protect your identity. And we'll probably do that, but I anticipate that things are going to, the tempo of events is going to increase and speed up over the next several months as we come into the election. And I anticipate that there will be a national level event that will precipitate some kind of civil unrest. And I'm not taking anything off the table, put it that way. So as you go through the next several weeks, and as you look at the news cycle, stay in the big picture. Always bubble it up to how does this play into the big picture and what does this do for the elite? And most importantly, keep your head out of your phone, be situationally aware, and pay attention to who's around you now more than ever. I'll be back Wednesday with the roundtable. Not sure who's going to be on this week. I've had to change the schedule several times, but I want to shout out to all the guys on the roundtable that, showed up on Saturday and Sunday. It's a group of dedicated professionals that showed up on Saturday and took time out of their day because they thought it was important that we break that down for people. So shout out to those guys. I really appreciate all of them. I'll be back Wednesday. I'm not sure who's going to be with me, and we'll be back Friday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.